All right, welcome back once again, everybody. I'm Don Seifert. It's the Dr. Treefruit and Don podcast. I'm here with Dr. Carrie Peter. Say hi, Carrie.
Hello.
And Dr. Greg Krawcheck. Say hi, Greg.
Hello, everyone.
So it is Thursday, June 15th, and we wanted to get you guys another fruit bite since apparently all the rain for the season came in 2 days, depending on where you're at. So with that, Carrie, why don't you give folks an update on what they might be able to expect?
Sure. So, you know, I had someone call me yesterday asking me about updates and why I hadn't posted any updates yet. I said, well, because it's been dry and there's been no rain. So there's been nothing to really talk about as far as to put on the grower's radar. However, something right now that should be on growers' minds, and I think it's on everyone's mind who grows Honeycrisp, is bitter rot. So what we've learned in our lab is that the bitter rot spores are available all season long. You're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. However, they are most dangerous when their infection conditions are present. And what are those infection conditions? Well, when it's warm, when it's above 70 degrees, 70 to 75 degrees, and it's wet, meaning when we have rain events with at least 12 wetness hours. And so consequently, we haven't had those conditions up until this week. You know, even with those very, very brief rain showers, like a few weeks ago here and there, they were pretty negligible. So we didn't have the conditions for bitter rot, but now this week we have the conditions. Next week we may have the conditions, and this might become a pattern for the rest of the season. So with that said, growers should be really mindful of keeping their fruit protected from the spores that cause bitter rot. So what growers need to be thinking about is making sure their fungicides are on prior to that wetting event. Why is that? Well, it's because the way that the bitter rot fungus works is that when the spores land on the fruit, they germinate. And then they puncture the skin and then cause an initial infection. Then they go dormant. They go to sleep. So they are not susceptible to fungicides at that point when they're in that, we call it a quiescent phase or a dormant phase in the fruit, where they have caused infection, but they aren't showing any symptoms yet. So consequently, you need to disrupt that infection event prior to that fungus going into its dormancy phase. And so fungicides need to be on the leaves prior, or on the fruit prior to the rain. So I know folks, they think about apple scab and they think about, oh, well, with apple scab, you know, we can apply fungicides and there's that quote unquote kickback from fungicides. When we say there's kickback from fungicides, that means you could have an active infection growing in the plant tissue. And when the fungicides penetrate said plant tissue, they can stop the infection mid progress. But that can't really happen successfully with bitter rot because of the way it causes infection and ultimately goes into that dormant phase. If it's not actively growing or actively infecting, fungicides are going to be relatively ineffective. So this is where I've seen folks get tripped up, is that they will put on their fungicides after the fact and they'll still see disease. And then I always will hear, but I applied my fungicides and I still got bitter rot. Why is that? And I was like, well, when did you put it on? And they're like, well, I'm not sure. I said, well, was it after the rain or before the rain? Like, well, I may have gotten in there a day or two after the rain. I said, well, that was a day or two too late. So I can't emphasize that enough. Bitter rot is always going to take the upper hand. So you want to make sure that prior going into that wetting event that you've got something decent on your fruit. That could be Captan. And all you really need with Captan is about 2 to 3 pounds per acre. Captan is an excellent fungicide for thwarting bitter rot infection. However, it can be washed off. It's not going to penetrate the skin during those first few epidural layer cells like other fungicides will. So for instance, next week, there is a forecast of rain for over a period of several days. And it's right now about 60%, close to 60%, at least for the Adams County area. And you may want to consider adding something a bit stronger to Captan. So what could be your options? Well, depending on where you are with your pre-harvest interval, you've got several options. Aprovia, which is a frac group 7, is excellent against bitter rot. However, it does have a 30-day pre-harvest interval. So you want to be mindful of what fruit this is going on and when you are harvesting said fruit. Omega is another excellent fungicide. It's a frac group 29. That also has a similar PHI, and that's a 28-day pre-harvest interval. And with that one, you want to be using it at the highest recommended rate, which is 13.8 fluid ounces. You have a range on the label. I recommend using the highest rate. That's where we've seen the most success. You can use Flynn Extra, which is a frac 11. That's a 14-day pre-harvest interval. Flexibility there. Luna Sensation and Marivon, they are a frac 7 and a frac 11. Now, the heavy lifter in those fungicides is the frac 11 fungicide. Luna Sensation, it's trifloxystrobin, which is the same in Flynn Extra. It's also a 14-day PHI. And Marivon, which is a 0-day PHI. You know, you want to be mindful about fungicide resistance management. This fungus is known to develop fungicide resistance. However, the dominating fungus in Pennsylvania, which is called Colitotrichum fiorineae, is not resistant to these fungicides. We have tested the population, or at least some of the population in Pennsylvania, and it's still very susceptible. There is just one species on one farm that we found where we are seeing some resistance. But by tank mixing with Captan, you really shouldn't have any problem. Where you see fungicide failure is really in the timing of that fungicide application. So make sure that, you know, if you're using a straight frac 11 like Funextra, that, you know, you maybe run a rotated with a frac 7 or use just Captan alone, depending on what the conditions are, or rotate with Omega. But again, you have that very long pre-harvest interval with Omega. One thing I do want folks to keep in mind, and I'm going to repeat this twice so it sinks in for folks, that last pre-harvest spray, that spray you put on before harvest, is extraordinarily important. It's extraordinarily important for you to prevent fruit rots in your own storage, but it's very important for the packers. And I really want folks to be using Marivon because of the short day PHI, the 0-day PHI. And not only that, it has a label that says it will prevent blue mold and gray mold, which are post-harvest diseases. I am seeing some issues in some pack houses. And I think a lot of it has to do with folks harvesting fruit and then ultimately sending them to the packers. And there was too long of a time between when the spray occurred and when harvest occurred. In some cases, I know there was around 40 days. That is way too long. So, you know, even with Marivon does have its limits, but it's better than maybe just having Captan on there. But so when thinking about bitter rot management, please keep a Marivon spray as your last pre-harvest spray. And I've been preaching this since I've started here for 10 years now. You know, this spray is a good investment. I know how costly Marivon is. It's not cheap. And then also as far as the hassle of getting it on your acreage as well during that busy time pre-harvest, but it will pay off because the way the conditions are, we're seeing in the fall, we're seeing good conditions set up for very good rots occurring storage. And what we're finding in our own research here is that a lot of the rots are starting out in the field and then showing up in harvest. Bitter rot's just one of them, and it's in a small percent. There are other more important rots. So please make sure you save that Marivon spray. If you're going to be using it this summer, you're going to be using it for bitter rot, consider casting a big wide net with controlling 9 bitter rot, but other rots with that Marivon spray, definitely saving it for pre-harvest. So this is incredibly important just because this has been a tough year for some packers that I've seen. As far as on the organic side of things, as far as organic management of rots and specifically bitter rot, we don't have a lot of options. We've been going through them, but your best options are sulfur. However, sulfur can be problematic with fruit finish, especially when it's above 80 degrees, and that's any point during the day. Serenade and double nickel, are decent. Serenade comes as Serenade Aso, the liquid, or Serenade Opti as the wettable powder. And so, you know, I would recommend for the organic growers to be applying those products, and you need to be doing it frequently, very, very frequently, especially if it's raining a lot. There has been some promise with regards to incorporating Regalia, whether it's in a conventional system or the organic system. Regalia may be giving a bit of an oomph to control, especially maybe during those really tricky periods where it's wet all the time. So if you choose to use Regalia, you can use it at 1 to 2 quarts per acre, and you can add that to your conventional, you can add it to your organic. Another product that some growers and some research has also occurred in the South is using products like Rampart or Profite, and then just follow the label. These are phosphorus acid-based products, and these have shown some promise with regards to limiting fruit rot in the field. And what we've noticed, you know, on a limited scale, because the last couple of summers have been dry, is that there may be some post-harvest efficacy as far as limiting rots post-harvest with the addition of Rampart or Profite or something similar. So, you know, we're still studying, you know, trying to find definitely the best products to put on the trees, on the fruit prior to wetting events to prevent rots, because this is becoming a much bigger problem over the years. So just as a reminder, you've got a couple options for bitter rot during the summer in addition to Captan. You can also use Xyram. I forgot about Xyram. Xyram is also another broad spectrum. If you are going to use it at 4 pounds per acre. And that seems to be a decent rate if you aren't wanting to use Captan. And if you use Xyram, use it also with a spreader sticker. And then you can combine it with Improvia, Omega, Flinextra, Luna Sensation, or Marivon. And at the end of the season, I know some folks are reluctant about putting Captan on their fruit because of, you know, the spotting and residue and stuff like that. You know, it'd be okay if you just put Marivon straight on, just Marivon by itself. That's just fine. So with that, that is my 2 cents about preventing rot, specifically bitter rot right now in the orchard. Don, any questions? I miss anything?
You're not quite done yet.
I'm not. Okay.
We had hail yesterday out east.
Oh, goodness. Hail. Okay. Yeah. We did not have hail, but
yeah.
Okay. All right. You had hail. Probably, how bad was it?
It was probably 1/4 inch.
Goodness. Okay.
Yeah. It was pretty big.
What to do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So hail events. Hopefully folks know hail is a trauma event. So I hope people went out there and put a streptomycin spray on their trees. I hope everyone who's a seasoned grower, and even in all of my updates when I mentioned about saving that a streptomycin spray for the summer in the event of hail, and hail is a trauma event. So when you have trauma events to apple trees, they can cause these wounds, and a wound is an open door for the fire blight bacteria to get in. And if there is a population out there, which I'm certain there is because we've had good temperatures the last few weeks, that bacteria can get into those open wounds and cause shoot blight. So you can see numerous instances of shoot blight, or that shepherd's crooking of the shoots all over the tree. And it's very widespread. It's not here or there. So I hope folks went out there and put on their streptomycin spray. For organic, probably your only option really is copper to help limit the trauma. With regards to wounds on the fruit, you will, you know, that fruit, depending on how badly damaged that fruit is, growers will probably be sending that fruit to processing. That is my anticipation. That fruit's going to be destined for processing. You still need to control for disease on that fruit, especially fruit rots. So hopefully folks also went out there with a Captan spray or sulfur to cover up those wounds. And if that fruit is destined for processing, you still need to be managing for fruit rots. So I still recommend even using products like Marivon or Flinextra, in addition to your broad spectrums, to limit the fruit rots. So you want to salvage that crop as best as possible. And so this isn't a walk away instance, especially if you'll be able to send it to the processors. Yeah. Anything else on the radar?
That was the big one. I'm glad you talked about some of the fruit rot, and I could get you to talk a little bit about the hail yesterday, because it probably came through, I don't know, probably 24 hours almost exactly
Oh wow. Okay.
ago.
So the
So
sooner, yeah. So when a trauma event occurs, the sooner you get on that strep spray, the better off you are. So, in some cases, I've seen people, it's like the rain stops, the sun comes out, they go out. That's really ideal because you really don't want to give that bacteria any more time than it has as far as to creating an infection. Not only at, but as far as the wounds, not only apples, but also peaches too. I'm assuming folks are going to want to be doing something with those peaches. Even if they're really marked up and however you choose to sell those peaches, you still want to be managing for rot because you want to be controlling rot for next year. If brown rot comes in and then those brown rot, you have brown rotted fruit, then they mummify and then they hang on the trees, you've got little spore factories for next year. So controlling rots is still very important even after a hail event. And I know it's very discouraging seeing all that wounded fruit, but if it's any way, shape, salvageable, you should still be controlling for disease. If even if it's just to manage disease for next year.
awesome. Thanks, Gary.
Yes,
Yeah,
you're very welcome.
we had anywhere between 1.5 inches to 4 inches of rain earlier
Oh,
this
that
week.
was more than us. That was
Yeah.
more than us. Yeah. We
So.
had I think we have had almost an inch of rain this week. I think like 0.8, I think. Not we didn't have as much as you guys.
So wild, wild week after a month of not a drop.
Feast or famine.
Dr. Krawcheck, how's everything going entomologically?
I think that the word interesting will be the best description of what is happening right now with the insect pests that we are dealing with or worry about. And let's separate them into those two groups. And the group that we have to deal with at the moment are actually two internal feeders. We are still in the extended flight of the codling moth, which seems to be a normal lately. I mean, normally in the past, and the past would be 15 years ago, at this time, we will be done with the first generation flight. And we will be waiting for the second generation, which normally would start in the middle of July. That's not the case recently. We're still catching a lot of codling moth in any trap that we have out anywhere around the state. I just got back this morning from Berks County, actually. And the flight there is still very active, at least in the orchards that we monitor. It's very active here in Adams County, and it seems not ceasing down anywhere west from us. I don't know, north, they probably will be the same boat. The point I'm trying to make is that you really have to know what is happening in the orchard. Traps will tell you what is happening. And doesn't matter that, the production guide or the newer recommendation will tell that, oh no, we done or something like this. It doesn't matter. Even if the model says that we done with the first generation, but you're still catching 10, 15, 20 moths, codling moth in a trap in your orchard, it means that, well, if those males were able to find the trap, they were also able to find the females. They can mate, the eggs are laid, and they will hatch and they will be injured. So I would think that at least 2 more weeks of making sure that we are protecting fruit from codling moth infestation is the minimum that we can do. Saying this, this is also a time when the second generation OFM started. And with OFM, it's slightly easier part because even if you don't have traps, you can very easily see on your stone fruit if you have population of OFM or not. If you go to the orchard right now, the flagging on the tip of the terminals are the sign that OFM was, how abundant was the OFM during the first generation, and if you were successful in controlling it. If you see flagging, but there is no larva in, well, it actually means that the larva already completed the development, and now you're gonna have to deal with the second generation adults. And those adults, in contrast to the first generation, will actually go after fruit. They will also go after shoots, because shoots are preferable host. However, you know, this is mid-June and we have the weather we have, some trees are shooting down the growth, and then the fruit are viable. And this generation OFM will go into peaches, and some people might find them in the fruit at harvest. Because, you know, if they go after peaches right now, the eggs will be laid right now, 7-10 days for the egg development. Larva will go into fruit late June. So the whole July into August, there will be larvae inside the fruit. So that's why it is actually bad. And this is especially for the stone fruit. On palm fruit, well, the larva will do exactly the same, but those fruits still most likely will abort and fall to the ground before the harvest. But, so your codling moth and oriental fruit moth sprays is basically the same spray. It has to be done now, probably 2 weeks from now too, depends what the pressure. Again, not everyone needs it. I mean, I see trap data from some growers where up to now, they never caught more than 2-3 codling moth for the whole week. Those numbers are very low. It's not a problem. However, if anyone is catching 5, 10, 15, it means you still have to be very aggressive in controlling. What to use for the control? Well, nothing changed. There is not a new silver bullet, but we had a lot of very good silver bullet, assuming that they're working. Any diamide insecticide, and diamides are Altacor, Exirel, Verdeplim, Volium, Besiege, Mimecto, all of them are extremely effective. Again, both CMOFM, they also will control leaf rollers, which might be present at this moment. I mean, it used to be that we control leaf rollers, and codling moth and oriental fruit were kind of a second thought. Well, now it's complete reverse, and we actually trying to control CMOFM. But again, if you use any of the diamides or delegate, it will take care of any leaf rollers and CM-OFM complex. The important part is we have to remember that doesn't matter which diamide we're using, Altacor, Exirel, Verdeprim, Volium, Besiege, Mimecto, all of them are attacking insect utilizing the same target site. Their mode of action is the same. So it doesn't matter which one you use, but for the rotation purpose of insecticides, you have to think about them as a one, not as a six different products, but as a one product. And the rotation can be diamide versus delegate, or maybe granulosis virus, which is also a very effective choice. But it's not, if I use Verdeprim this time and for the second generation Altacor, that's not a rotation. So this is important to understand. So this is what we have to deal at this moment with. Another group of the pest, which is kind of very variable, however, can be controlled utilizing the same spray, which can be up to any fungicides application that Kerry recommended. She recommended so many of them, so you can add to any one of them. I'm kidding. Anyway, the other group of pests that we really have to worry about right now are aphids, Japanese beetle, brown marmorated stinkbug. And I have already seen Japanese beetle, which I think is, you know, they were ready. We got some rain, and they usually emerge from the ground when the when the soil get wet, and then they can emerge easier from the overwintering sites. I have found the first Japanese beetle yesterday. So with the rain in forecast for tomorrow, for Friday, and then a kind of wet days next week, I would expect that if the Japanese beetle are there, they will show up no later than by the end of next week. Aphids, well, they are out there. I mean, most of the aphids that we're dealing with right now are the Spirea aphid. So you can use the same product to actually control aphids and Japanese beetle. Any neonicotinoid will be effective. In addition, the same neonicotinoid, and we might be talking Actara, we might be talking high rate of Transform. Transform is the new name for the clover, or Azale, or Indigo, Pilei. All of them will actually also control brown marmorated stinkbug. I'm saying this because, you know, the emergence from the overwintering site is done, it's kind of completed. Our stinkbugs coming out from the diapause, they are not looking for fruit orchards, they're looking for food. And orchards are one of the choices they have. If it's happened that they establish in the orchard, that they lay eggs in the orchard, the nymphs are hatching right now, the eggs are hatching right now, and the nymphs that will emerge, they actually will be feeding in the orchard for the next 6 weeks. So this is important to remember that whenever you go after aphids or when you go after Japanese beetle, if you go higher rate of any of the products that I mentioned earlier, this product should also eliminate any resident population of brown marmorated stinkbug that might be in the orchard. If you have traps, you would catch them. I don't think too many people have the traps in, but this is something that actually might help to eliminate the resident population. Again, adult stinkbug can fly in, do the feeding, fly out. So this is kind of, you know, migratory pest. At the same time, the nymphs of brown marmorated stinkbug, they are a resident pest. They will be there. They will be feeding in the orchard. They will feed on fruit. And any feeding is equals injury. So this is the strange situation that adults are migratory, juvenile stages are resident pests. You really can't control adults, but you can eliminate nymphs. And this way you will drastically reduce the potential for injury for BMSB, at least at this time of the season. I was asked today, should we also control spotted lanternfly in the orchard? Yes, but I think that anything you do to control aphids or BMSB or Japanese beetle will also eliminate the resident part of the spotted lanternfly, which are nymphs right now. All eggs are basically hatched. So right now, what you can find in the orchard, especially on the edges, or if there were some adults flying in late in the season, they will be nymphs, but they are very easy to control as long as you use effective insecticides. And anything that will kill BMSB also will kill spotted lanternfly. So that's the big thing. There is also a third group, which actually in this moment is only one insect, woolly apple aphid. And this is something that I probably talk about previous time, but if the orchard experience woolly apple aphid infestation, we actually have only two options to manage it. One option is using Movento at 9 ounces, and the other option is diazinon at least at 1 pound. And both of them are actually single application. And personally, I think using Movento at this time, or even earlier than now, but this might be like the last time when the infestation is not very severe yet, Movento will help manage woolly apple aphids. However, if we do nothing right now and the biological control will not take care of woolly apple aphids, which is possible that they are very, because they are very effective, then later on, when we go into July, August, when we see a lot of infestation, diazinon is the only option. Movento will fail under heavy infestation. So this is something that, you know, when you are in the orchard, when you're looking around, check, especially on the older trees, inside the canopy, if you can see, you know, woolly apple aphid is the one of the easiest insect to spot, easiest pest to actually see that they are there, and make a decision. Do I have to spray, or I will let the biological control work? If I have to spray, it's still time to using Movento, or I already have to go with diazinon. But again, if you use diazinon now, you really will not have another option if for some reason it will not be able to control the population effectively by now. Because Movento later on under heavy pressure will fail. So again, that's basically the update for the insect part for the moment. Remember, codling moth is still active. Oriental fruit moth just started the second generation. Japanese beetle, aphids, BMSB potentially need to be controlled, and they can be controlled using the same product. And spotted lanternfly will be controlled with anything we use against the previous group. And woolly apple aphid, if present, also should be taken care of right now. So that's all. Any questions?
No, sounds good.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. I don't think there's anything else on the horizon for meetings or anything like that. So I'll try and get this out here in just a, I don't know, very shortly, as soon as I can. And hopefully folks will have this in their hands by the end of the day. So thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
And
yeah, thanks.
Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.